Welcome back, everybody. HR Talk brought to you in part by Ricky Baez down in Orlando, Florida. I'm JC. It's our pleasure to be back here for you this week on a 12-second intro on our brand new intro, the Hurried Intro. We are the HR Talk podcast professionals here to bring you that perspective and insight of human resources from around the world into your ears. How you doing?
I love that. From around the world into each and everybody's ears.
That's right. Straight to the ears.
sounds painful, brother. It really does.
And that's just me playing part and having fun with, once again, listening to many of the HR podcasts that are out there. There's a lot of great ones over in the UK. And believe it or not, in Germany, I've listened to many of them. I don't understand what they're saying. But by gosh, they've got some great production value. Kudos to whoever you are out there doing the HR podcasts over in the UK and Europe. I understand the UK one, but the German one not so much, you know.
How do you know it was about HR?
It's literally in the title. It was
German, yeah. HR, German.
Something kind of like that. I don't know. It was on the TuneIn radio app, you know. I quickly found HR Talk there. I was browsing through some of our old episodes, Culture of Trust, and what was the other one? The fear-based work environment. I just went through it. I was reliving like some good memories, and I came across some other ones that are out there.
Okay. All right. So how far into the German HR podcast did you make it to?
Oh, it was maybe only like a minute or two. It was still pretty fun, you know? Yeah. I mean, I really had no idea what the heck they were saying, but they sounded really good, you know?
I would love to hear that. Everything would sound so authoritative. Everything would be so – would be said with such passion and authority, right? Everything. There's no – I don't know. I would love to hear it. Can you bring it up right now or no?
No, I'm not doing that right now. We could do it
Why would you
time.
Not do that? Ah,
I'm not ready
why
to bring
would you
that
bring
up.
That
right
up?
Now.
Why would you bring it up? Talk about it. Get me all hyped up about it. Now we can't listen to it.
It's okay.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I'm letting
Google
you down a little bit.
German HR podcast.
It's easier to do it directly through the TuneIn radio app. It was just kind of like browsing on Stitcher in the same way. You know, you can find HR Talk on Stitcher, but then you find all these other ones that are out there too. And then that's when you quickly come across some of the international-based human resource podcasts that are out there. You know, lo and behold, I come to find out that one of the hosts of one of these other HR shows, I forget which one it is. There's really so many. I want to say it's like HR Coffee Talk or something. I don't know what it was. But the guy, he's like right up the road from me. I kind of want to go find him. So then I took a moment and looked him out on LinkedIn. And then I realized, well, now he knows I looked at his LinkedIn profile. What do I do, you know?
What did you say? You lurked him out?
Yeah,
I lurked him out.
I lurked him out on LinkedIn. I looked up his name on LinkedIn, and there he was.
Okay. Say that. Say you looked him up. Don't say you lurked him up.
Come on.
On LinkedIn.
No. It's not lurked you up. It's lurked you out. I mean, it's a millennial type phrase. I'm trying to be younger.
Oh, that makes it better. No. That doesn't make it any better at all. You looked him up. That's fine.
Hey,
isn't that weird? But wait, isn't that weird that on LinkedIn... On LinkedIn, you're able to see who saw your profile. That is the only social media site that I think does that, right? Because think about it.
Kinda.
If that happened on Facebook, no. On Facebook doesn't tell you somebody just saw your profile unless you accidentally hit a like on a picture.
Well,
you're not supposed to.
Kind of not. I mean, the way the algorithms are built on that one, the suggested friends sometimes directly report back in conjunction with those that have recently visited the profile one too many times as well. And it varies between the application and the web. And I can't get into it, but look at the schema on that one of these days. Hey, we're actually headed somewhere to a good place with this one. When we're talking about like acronyms and weird stuff like that, I got an email from you recently, Rick. You were talking with an HR professional. It was up here in the Western New York area by the name of Claire. And I was reading over your email, and I saw all the acronyms at the end of your name. And then I saw all the acronyms at the end of her name. And then I started looking over on LinkedIn while I was lurking out that guy on the other podcast show and just trying to find out a little bit more about their show. And I'm looking at all these names, and it's like everyone in the HR world, if you don't have post-nominals at the end of your name, you're nothing. So
go ahead.
So to that, is it a prerequisite in your world, man? in this HR world that we live in to obtain a CCM, CVA, RPA, CMS, GBA, maybe a CBS, a CEBS at the end of your name, or a GPHR? Like, where do you draw the line? I mean, do you really push for the CCP, the CBP, the GRP, the APHR, the PHR, the SPHR, wow, the SHRM SCP, or the SHRM CP?
But, like, but whoa.
I'm sorry.
What? It's in your cup. Holy crap. Relax. Slow down.
But I mean, these are all real post-nominals that are big in the HR world. What the frig do they mean? What's the importance of the post-nominal to you?
So all right. Let's take a step back. Let's slow down a little bit. So I know, okay, relax. Right. Breathe in, right, breathe out. Who's that? Right. So for those of you who don't know, what JC's talking about is in the HR world, we have several certification designations that we have at the end of our name. That's just to say that we have taken a test and we have been tested on our knowledge, specific bodies of knowledge in human resources, and we're certified in it. That's all that means.
Well, you're definitely certifiable.
I'm definitely certifiable. But there's so many different kinds now versus what they were 10 years ago. Because 10 years ago, the only thing we had from an HR perspective, we had the Professional Human Resources Certification, also known as PHR, and the Senior Professional Human Resources Certification, along with the Global Professional Human Resources Certification. Obviously, that's global. But in the state of California, they have so many crazy human resources laws and regulations that they need their own certification.
Right,
and that's to California.
Pull the e-brake real quick. So PHR, Papa Hotel Romeo, the post-nominal at the end of someone's name, stands for Professional in Human Resources.
Correct.
So you could be a professional in human resources, and because you've been in the job and you are a professional human, you can put that. No, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. It's human resources, not a human.
Okay, I understand. No, I gotcha. So if you're in human resources in a professional capacity and you've been holding that job for a long time, don't just randomly put PHR to state that you're a professional in human resources. You have to pay $1 million for the endorsement of that PHR at the end of your name. Is that right?
To be honest, I'd rather pay $1 million than to take that test over again, because that is hands down the hardest test I have ever taken to get that designation. So, yes, there is a test you have to take so you can show that you are proficient in these different bodies of knowledge when it comes to human resources.
All right. So you already have your MBA, and then you start working for a company.
I'm just saying
in general, you HR professional out there, you have your MBA, you start working for an organization, you've got MBA at the end of your name, at the end of your title, because you choose to, you receive your PMP certification, and now you're a human resource professional. And to get that PHR, from a leader's perspective, we see these acronyms at the end of the name. We appreciate it. We're thankful for it. The more acronyms on my HR guy, the better. And we're going to put them out there on a chessboard. You know what? Maybe it'll be more like Anchorman. We're going to grab our HR guys and go to the back alley, and we're going to meet each other. You know, let's bring some bats. We're going to throw down. I've got my SHRM SCP with me right now.
I love that idea. That is a great idea. But yeah, it's all it is. Again, it just shows that you are proficient in that world. But well, now let's take a step back.
Right? Yes, sir.
Because about 10 years ago, the only thing that would show that you have that kind of knowledge from an HR point of view in the HR world was the SPHR, NPHR, California PHR, SPHR, and Global PHR.
All right.
And that is governed by an organization called Human Resources Certification Institute, which is HRCI. And for the longest time, when people had those acronyms after their name, it set you apart in a resume. It set you apart from people who are in human resources, they work in human resources, and then the people who are certified professionals in human resources. So it really helps you stand out in a resume. Now, about, I want to say about three or four years ago, the Society for Human Resource Management, they came into play and they say, wait a minute, we want our own certification. We want our own designation. So they came out with their own. So they came out with the Certified Professional for the Society for Human Resource Management, which is CP SHRM. And then there is a Senior Certified Professional for the Society for Human Resource Management, which is SCP SHRM. So they came out with their own. So then when that came out, the big question was, wait a minute, which is one is going to add more value to my resume?
Excellent question.
Which one is going to show that I am proficient in these bodies of knowledge? And that question was posed about 3-4 years ago. And the answer is nobody knows yet. It's still too early, still too young. You remember about 10 years ago when Blu-ray was big and then HD disc came out and
It was the Red Ray versus Blu-ray battle. And the HD disc was built off that same red laser technology, the Blu-ray, clearly Blu-ray. And one was backed and sponsored by, what was that, Sony. They built it into the PlayStations and they wound up winning the battle along the way.
But what was the big difference? Everything was still HD, right? Was one clearer than the other?
There were some minor differences, especially with the artifacts and the rendering between the red laser and the blue laser. But for the most part, to the common human eye, they were pretty much on par. I still think that red laser HD disc looked better, in my opinion, than Blu-ray. That's just me. That's a very hot button debated topic out there as well in the broadcast industry. But hey, at the end of the day, Blu-ray won, and they kept moving on. You know, so here we've got the battle of the SHRM SCP versus the GPHR, right?
SHRM SCP versus the from SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management, versus the all the other PHR SPHRs from HRCI, which is the Human Resource Certification Institute. For the longest time, people thought HRCI and SHRM were the same organization, because I remember going to a SHRM conference actually before SHRM came out with their own certification. And I remember somebody's bio that says, oh, this person is a GPHR certified by SHRM. And I'm like, that's not right. That's two completely different certifications. You know what? Maybe that's how SHRM got the idea of getting their own certification. They were probably in that room and they said, you know what? That's not a bad idea. We might start investing in that. But at the end of the day, it's the same analogy as a Blu-ray. It's they each have their own specific values that they add to the field. But the question is, which one is going to actually push you to the top? So right now, nobody knows the answer to that, right? So what people are doing, they're getting both. That's why some people's names look – that's why some people's designation after their name is longer than their actual name.
Right.
Because I've seen John Ray, MBA, PhD, PMP, CAPHR, SPHR. He's got more designations than the actual name, and he needs a 5x8 index card for his business card to hold all the other names. So then you have to start wondering, at what point where do you get to the point when you're overeducated? What does that do for you? And this is why this right here is such a hot topic for me, because when you start looking for a job and you have those designations, as a hiring authority, you have to know what that means so you know what you're getting.
All right. So I was doing a lot of work with some professionals in overseas markets in the IT world in a previous position. And it seemed that a lot of the people that we were interfacing with, you would see GPHR on the back end of the names of a lot of people from India and highly skilled individuals at the same time, you know?
Okay.
GPHR versus someone who's SHRM SCP. That's kind of like SHRM SCP would be like the WWE title, where the Global Professional in Human Resources, the GPHR, that's the universal title, right? I mean, that's Brock Lesnar. That's Brock Lesnar.
I don't know if it's Brock or not, but that's a little bit different, because that what you're saying is
you don't know Brock Lesnar then.
I do know Brock Lesnar. He is actually a MMA fighter right now, right?
He's, well, we'll get back to that another time.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, there you go. Another hot topic. What is wrong with you today? You're really emotional. Blu-ray, Brock Lesnar.
SummerSlam is coming up. I know we're trying to create shows that could last forever, but SummerSlam is coming up. Brock Lesnar is currently the title holder. My kids are all into this. It's a big deal. I mean, he could wind up walking in there in the octagon fighting Cormier later this fall, this winter here, and have that red belt right around his waist at the same time. It's some big stuff going down, man. You got to stay up on your wrestling.
I don't follow WWF anymore, so you really lost me.
What about UFC? UFC? No, different show. Different show. Different show. So,
yeah, I know.
Here's a key question for you. I'm going to dial you in for a second here. How much does
it?
Yeah, no, I'm going to dial you in. As a leader in an organization, you're coming to me and you want to get one of these certifications. Okay, you just joined the staff. How much does it cost for you to go get your SHRM CP?
I believe right now is hovering just under $400 for you to just sit and take the test.
Okay.
It is a grueling test. No, wait a minute. SHRM CP.
CP.
I'm sorry.
CP.
I take that back. I can't speak for that because I was grandfathered in to SHRM CP because when that first came out, I had my my SBHR certification. And if you had that when SHRM came out, you was automatically grandfathered. So I can't speak to that on how that test is. I can speak to the HRCI that hovers just about under $400 just to sit and take the test. It is, you have 4.5 hours to take that test, and it is grueling, JC. It really is.
Aside from the 4.5 hours for the test, $400 to be in the testing room, how much does it cost for the courses leading up to it and everything like that? I'm
there
sure
you
that
go.
You have to have X amount of hours. What's the total cost for a leader out there that might be listening to this to send my human resources professional for one of their very first certifications? How much are we talking?
You're looking at about anywhere between $800 to $1,500 for about an 8-week course to prep you for the test. And then you got to pay to sit for that test. But hear me out. I don't want people to just go out. About there.
$2,000.
It's around there. So I used to teach these prep courses for a company called HR.com. And I used to teach these courses online. And here is what I told my students.
Oh, which, by the way, the HR.com podcast is terrible. But please, go on.
It's I didn't know they have one.
They have
one.
They have one. You can find it on that TuneIn radio app. It's pretty horrendous, as you are.
Was that the one in German?
Don't worry
That's
about
why
it.
It sucked?
It's real
okay.
bad, though.
All right. Okay. All right. So anyway, this was years ago. So I used to help them in that certification process. So the biggest question that my students had was, Ricky, I've been doing this. I've been doing human resources for 30 years. Why do I need this course? Why can't I just go in, take the test with the knowledge and experience that I have instead of taking this course? And what I will tell them is, you can very well do that, but you're going to fail the test. And here's why you're going to fail the test. Because this test is based on law and theory with the law. It doesn't talk about the application of the law. So when you're looking at a book and you're looking at the law, it's very black and white. But when you go off of experience, it's not necessarily black and white. Maybe you can go here. Maybe you can go there. It doesn't matter. That's why people who go and take that test without taking these certification classes, they're going to fail because they're going off of their experience. And their experience could have been not as black and white as one would think when it comes as far as the law is concerned. Remember, study material, the classes are built off of the test, so you can prepare for the test. The classes are not built off of your experiences, so you're going in with erroneous information and with a different mindset of what you need to pass that test. Now, here's what happens.
All right.
You take that test and you pass it, right? It is the best feeling in the world. You now are now allowed to use those designations after your name for 3 years. In those 3 years, you've got to take courses. You've got to teach courses. You've got to create content. You've got to do... I didn't know that was suspenseful, but okay. You have to create all this content so you can go ahead and recertify after those 3 years. You can say, I've been keeping up with my knowledge. That way I'll recertify and I don't have to take that test over again. So every 3 years, I've had mine for, I want to say 10 years now. And I want to make sure I never, ever have to take that test because it really, really is grueling. So yeah, so you're looking at a good, about $2,000 investment at the most. You've got different organizations that have books, different colleges and companies that really have their own certification classes. I highly, highly recommend that if you're looking to take this test.
All right, time out now. About $2,000. We've heard a little bit about your experience. HR people are appreciating this end of things. Leaders and managers are hearing this, and they're like, why are you upselling this so hard? What is the importance? Why do we need to justify $2,000 to $2,500 plus maybe some per diems and meals, maybe even more, end of the day? Maybe I'm dishing out $5,000 for you to go get a certification at the end of your name on my dime through the company. What's the advantage to an organization to having a human resources professional certified as a professional in human resources?
So I'm first going to give you the answer I'm supposed to give, and then I'm going to give you the Ricky answer. Because there's a difference. I'm going to give you the answer I'm supposed to give.
Yes, sir.
Because you as a leader, you're investing in your employees, and you're sending your employees away to learn a new skill that they can bring back to the organization, therefore help you in your business because you've invested in your employees to go and gain this knowledge, to gain the skill set.
Okay, and
that's why it's valuable.
Before the Ricky answer, let me fire right back at you real quick. Will it help me legally? If my HR professional is certified, do I have more of a insulation legally that this person has now taken some courses and is providing more clear advice so that we don't have to worry about sexual harassment claims or something like that? They've been properly trained and they've got the proper certifications, and you just look at their title. You know. Go see Ricky. He's got all those things.
So here's the thing. There's nothing in the law that says in order for you to give advice from an HR point of view that you need this certification.
So really it's enrichment, is benefit to the employee at the end of the day. Like from a leader's manager's perspective.
And the employer, because the employer gets an employee that has more knowledge and is certified in that knowledge that they can use in the organization.
Okay, good to go. Good to go. Ricky's answer.
Here's Ricky's answer. If you go out and if you own a business and you send your employees out to get this certification, my question to that leader is, what are you going to do to ensure that this person is going to come back and actually put that to use? It makes no sense to spend all that money to go out and get the certification, whether the employee is paying for it or the employer is paying for it, if they're coming back to the organization and not use it. The knowledge is crap if you don't put it to use.
Boom.
So it's same thing with a college degree, right? A college degree is only as good as what you do with the knowledge that you get. At the end of the day, that certification, that degree, all it is a piece of paper that says you have met the minimum requirement for you to get this piece of paper that says you know what to do. So what you need to do as an employee, what you need to do as an employer is you need to put policies in place. You need to put something in place to reward people for the actions and the behaviors you want to see out of that. Because if you're going to pay people just to get these certifications and not put items in place to reward those behaviors you want to see, you're going to end up paying a lot of money for these employees to get these certifications and do absolutely nothing with it. So when I have a hiring authority who's coming to me and say, I want to hire this person for this role and I want them to have all these certifications, my question back to them is, what are you going to do to ensure they put it to use? And if they don't have anything, then forget about those designations. That's not something you need at this point. Gotcha. Otherwise, you're just going to waste your money.
All right.
That's the Ricky answer.
So, some of the other ones that are out here, man, retirement plans associates, RPAs. Certification in Volunteer Administration, a CVA, Certified in Conflict Manager, CCM, Compensation Management Specialist, CMS. Do you see these a lot?
We're actually utilizing
acronyms for, well, I guess it is. I would want to talk to someone that's, you know, certified in retirement plans, I suppose, you know, rather than.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, go ahead. Bring
it. It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
There it is. Go on. Go on.
It's a gimmick. It is because it's. Let me guess. So all those designations. Wait.
Okay.
For all those designations, a wild guess. Do you have to pay to take those classes? Yes.
Yes.
Is there a market for a study group or a course that you take at a college or for another organization that you have to pay for to prep you for those classes, right?
Yeah.
For those classes, correct?
Right.
Okay. Boom. Another source of income, another thing for you to sell. It's a gimmick because, I mean, again, you go in, you don't know what these things stands for, but you know what? By golly, it must be important because it's after their name. It's all that is just for you to show this is what you have. That's it. Now, the only time a certification would worry me, the only time is when I am about to go to surgery and the person who's about to perform my open heart surgery, the only thing I see behind their name is an RN. Not taking away anything from registered nurses. My wife is a registered nurse.
You're married?
I know. It's unbelievable. I know.
When did
really
that happen?
It's unbelievable.
Holy
smokes.
Oh, my
God. I know, about 5 years ago.
Anyways, yeah. Go on.
Dude, you were there.
Was I?
So, yeah, you were.
Oh, wow. That was a good time.
I've got pictures, yeah. I would rather have that's the only time that I'm like, wait, I need to see this destination
right.
Because I know what they are.
Here's a big question for you, bro. All right, you're talking about – I'm just going to only use two examples here. Certified benefits professional – in certified compensation professional, the CBP and the CCP, postnominal. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
At what point do those break out and become something different where they wouldn't typically be included in like the SHRM SCP or the SPHR?
No, that's different because when you're looking at the SHRM SCP, that is the whole embodiment of human resources. Compensation is part of human resources. Benefits is part of human resources, but those are specialized designations for those skills. When you're talking about compensation, it's not just for you to decide how much somebody gets paid. There's a lot of research and analysis that goes behind that for you to decide whether you are paying somebody appropriately. Same thing with benefits, with the Affordable Care Act, especially when that came about, it threw a big curveball into the benefits world.
Yeah, and because now the tax brackets and everything. It was a mess, man. It was horrendous.
Okay, I mean, that's another show, right? So, but it's as far as benefits is concerned, and you have the IRS involved, you've got taxes involved, which they are involved. You really want somebody who specializes in that. So yes, there definitely is a market for that. But what makes that different is that's a specialty. Let me go back to the doctor reference, right? If you go see your regular practitioner, your general practitioner doctor, you have somebody who has an MD, right? It's somebody who's a doctor in general health. But if you want a specialist, you want to go see a podiatrist, you want to go see somebody that has to do with blood, that's a whole different specialty above and beyond medical school. Same thing here, albeit when it comes to compensation and benefits, you don't have to go above and beyond the PHR, SPHR. You can do it separately, but it's more specialized than the generalized designation.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing the building of the CCOTE. And I think that would definitely be a certification that would help tons of people out above and beyond their even wildest dreams, the CCOTE.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I will bite. What is the CCOTE?
Certified Culture of Trust Expert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It's not a thing yet, but it really should be because of the culture trust should be in. It's something that crosses all boundaries and borders, and it's not covered in the current SHRM catalog, but I guarantee you now that we've brought it up on the show, it's going to be considered.
So in 5 years from now, we're going to look back in this podcast, and when we're billionaires, so basking in the sun
off
the coast of Puerto Rico.
That's not going to happen.
Fine. In 5 years, when we're thousandaires, right, because of all the money we made, with this designation, yeah, we can go back to this podcast because that will be marketable in about 5 years.
I'm guarantee telling it you, will. Becoming a culture of trust expert is definitely something to behold, and that should definitely be something that crosses borders from human resources to leadership and everything
that.
In between.
Hold on. Let me follow that.
Yeah.
So let's make believe that exists.
Holy
right
smokes!
Now,
could you
right?
call Leslie real quick and get her back on the show? We've got ideas.
We really do have ideas. So let's make believe that exists right now.
Right.
And you are a certified culture of trust expert.
A C code.
A C code. Let's say you don't have a C code designation.
Wait. Then you're a P code, a professional. You're not certified.
I like that. You're such a P code. Get out of here.
I just got my
C code. Go get
C-code.
Me a C code. No,
Ricky,
but wait.
You're not going to hire any peacoats in my organization.
So if you don't have that certification, does that make you not trustworthy?
Okay, well, here's a great question for you. If you don't have the PHR certification, then you're not a professional in human resources.
Good point. Yeah, good point. No, I'm a professional, just not certified.
Right.
There you go.
Well, no, wait. This one, it doesn't even say certified. It's PHR, Professional in Human Resources. And if you don't have that
certification.
Well, is that inherent to the post-nominal? No, because the C isn't in there.
It doesn't have to be in the
No, it does have to be in there. It's part of the post-nominal acronym. So like the SHRM Senior Certified Professional is SHRM SCP, and the SHRM CP is Certified Professional. I'm holding on.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't have an MBA, but I do have a master's in human resources. I'm looking at my degree. Nowhere does it say this is a diploma.
It's
not. Just says this is the master's of human resources, right?
Yes, that's what you have.
So in the absence of the word diploma, on the diploma makes it not a diploma?
No, it doesn't. You should probably mail it back and get a different one. I'm going to tell you. You know, I mean, think about
it. I'll mail it back to Singapore.
Just mail it back. Yeah, guys, could you please stamp this differently? You know, I mean, think about Luke when he was doing the Skywalker thing, you know, when he was doing his, what was that called? The Jedi thing, right?
Great analogy. Absolutely. Yeah. It's,
Did he get a certification, Rick? Come on.
He did in a matter of minutes on the Millennium Falcon in the first movie. He really did. Don't get me started. That's a hot button for me. Star Wars. You got Blu-ray and the WWE. I got Star Wars.
I know you do. I know you do. All right. So these other ones that are out here, group benefits associate, that's an important thing. That's an important thing, right? GBA?
It is.
Or the CEBS, Certified Employee Benefits Specialist?
CEBS. I need to get, so I know somebody who's taken all the CEBS courses, all the CEBS certifications. That's a lot. That's even more than GPHR and SPHR because that's a lot of different stages that a different certification, different books that you can get for you to get the whole certification. That one is really hard. I've seen those.
Here's but my big question.
I don't care about.
Do we know anyone that has all of these?
I do. Oh, wait. All of what? All of them?
Well, I mean, granted, you can't have all of them, but I mean, like, so at the end of the name is SHRM SCP, CBP, CCP, GRP, SPHR, GPHR, CEBS, GBA, CMS, RPA, CVA, CCM, MBA of doctorate in Skywalker or something.
I don't know anybody like that. I'm sure there's somebody out there who loves a challenge, but what's the point of that?
To say you did it?
I know somebody who's currently working on their fifth master's degree, their fifth one, and I'm like, what are
you
trying to
do? Why didn't
you
just get a doctorate in one of these things?
Thank you,
right?
Thank you. That's my point. But so I do teach college at night, and a lot of students do ask me about the value of that degree, and it's
you got to let me talk to them.
Hear me out. Here is what I tell my students,
yes.
And here is what I tell people who ask me that question. The first thing I ask is, it depends on what you want to do. And what I mean by that is, do you want to make money or are you just passionate about a specific subject and you just want to know more about it? And if they say, no, I just want to make money, then your general degree is not going to do it for you. Go out and start a business. Go out and be an entrepreneur. That is how you make money as quickly as you want it to do. In the absence of a law degree, in the absence of a science degree, like, I don't know, a scientist, biologist, or a doctor, everything else you really don't necessarily need to make money. Now, if you just want to be educated in a specific subject and know a lot more about it and be classically trained, yes, get a degree. Get a degree in history. Get a degree in liberal arts. Get all those degrees. But just make sure what you're looking for, because in the past 30 years, we've said that in order for you to be successful, you need a college degree. That may have been true 30 years ago when knowledge wasn't readily available as it is right now. The only way you can get any kind of knowledge out of school or outside of a college was an encyclopedia that was outdated as soon as you bought it, or the library, which we have those today, but I don't want to say they're unnecessary, but we have so much information at our fingertips right now. Look, just about 4 years ago, I knew nothing about pivot tables with Excel. You want to know how I learned how to use pivot tables? YouTube. You go on YouTube, and I learned how to use pivot tables. I knew how to forecast on Excel because of YouTube. Whereas before YouTube, you just had to get a college course to learn how to do that. So that's what I tell people. It's get a degree, but make sure that you know the reason why you're getting it, especially if you're paying for it out of your own pocket, because this country is drowning right now in student debt based on that false dream that you're going to be so successful because now you have a college degree, which, again, that was true 30 years ago.
I like it. You're very passionate on the topic of post-nominals. This is very good. This is very good stuff.
Yeah,
wow.
Thank you for taking me down that road. And
yeah, so how do we get certified? How do you get certified in YouTube? And then what's that acronym? I'm just saying.
I don't know. You came up with a culture of trust. One, figure this one out.
I know. I will. I will. Don't threaten me with a good time, Mr. Baez. I'm telling
really?
You. Hey,
threatening you with a good time.
You know, we're nearing the 40-minute mark. Anything you want to say in summary in regards to all these crazy acronyms at the end of people's HR names?
Yes. So if you really want to set your resume apart to get into an organization, it is definitely worth the investment. It is even better for you to invest in some classes before you dive in to take the test. Based on your own experience. So take the test. I'm sorry. Go ahead and pay for the classes. Take those classes. Prepare for that test. That gets you in the door. What keeps you in the door and what keeps you climbing up the ladder in that door once you're in, and what's going to help you not get kicked out of that door, is if you actually apply that knowledge that you learned and you're actually adding that much more value to your employer that you promised them when you put those letters on your resume.
On my end here, in closing and in wrapping up, I think the post-nominal discussion was absolutely fantastic. I do want to bring two things to the forefront real quick. In some of the more modern current events that are out there, Ricky, I'm going to hit you with this, and I want you to be ready for it. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. Are we? I don't know. Hold on.
Here it comes. The retaliation lawsuit that was filed against the Cleveland Cavaliers by a former vice president has been dismissed as of July 31st. This was a single count lawsuit. It was filed in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court. There's a huge allegation that the organization threatened to ruin her career after she witnessed employees deleting the electronic evidence. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it was dismissed with prejudice. Some big news in the HR world at the end of July right there. And then the other story that I have for you, Rick, a fired Wawa worker. And by the way, that story came to us from cranescleveland.com. And then this one's coming to us from philly.com. Definitely look this up and check it out in the business and consumer news area. A fired Wawa worker claims illegal lunch break policy led to 7-month nightmare. He turned around and filed a grievance. He filed a issue there because he felt that there was a violation of the state law in Delaware since he wasn't guaranteed a half-hour uninterrupted break for every 7.5 hours worked. And there was a lot of things that ensued from there. The story goes on. This is a rather long one. I don't want to give away the ending. Definitely stop by philly.com to find out. But, yeah, this guy lived through 7 months of hell just because he was trying to get a paid or unpaid lunch of uninterrupted time for 30 minutes. You know, like I do, those roller dogs, Those roller dogs are good, man. And if I don't have at least 15 minutes uninterrupted roller dog time, brother, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anything for or against this guy. I'm just saying, you know, I wish you and your employer all the best. And kudos to you for rising to the top on Google's human resource query of the week. We're going to have to develop a jingle for that. Google
7 months. I mean, yeah. after the first week of you not getting a lunch, why wouldn't you say anything? Why do you have to wait 7 months for that? Sorry, I know. It's at the end of the show. You brought it up, right?
Yeah, no, I did.
So
it's
fine.
You
can't expect me not to say
anything. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the employee was fired. He was fired more than a week later after bringing things
up. Why was he fired?
And getting vocal back and forth, and then, you know, claims of retaliation. The story goes on, gets into accompanying documentation. This is a very in-depth HR story. Definitely check this one out about the Wawa worker and the 7 month nightmare from Philly.com. Very, very in depth piece there. Who wrote this article, by the way? Let me look this up. That was Christian Hetrick, staff writer at PhillyNews.com. Definitely check that one out. I don't want to give away the entire story because the ending here really, really hits it home hard.
It's one of those endings, right?
One of those endings. Okay. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that's HR Talk with Ricky and Jim. Everyone out there, drive safe. Have a good night.